your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When you get there, say amen, amen, and amen. Luke chapter 2. One of the words that you think of when you think of Christmas. I know I'm going to keep with my husband. Would you shout that out to me in a count of three? One, two, and three. I heard nothing. I thought I heard cake or something. I don't know. So today's word is going to be supernatural. Turn to your neighbor and say supernatural. I was speaking. I've been speaking in front of kids a lot lately. Any kids in the house? Pretend like you care. And so just sit up straight, you know, and tall, like yeah. And so I always say you're cool if teenagers think you're cool. How many moms in the house? Your teenagers do not think you're cool. And so yeah, so you're no longer cool. And so age does wonders to you. Supernatural. And so I'm speaking to a bunch of young people. I do a Christian club called Torpens for Christ, and I speak there every week. And so I'm speaking in front of sixth graders, and these sixth graders are super cool. Like never before has this happened to me. We hand out Bibles in the first week of our program there at Tarpons for Christ, and the next week they come back with their Bibles and they're waiting for me to speak to them from the Word of God. And so every kid has put their Bible in their school bag and is sitting there like, what you got for me, Tara? And they just take out the Bible. And so it's pretty cool. And so I'm sitting there, and one of the questions that I have for them, I said, what is one miraculous thing that God has done in your life? And so I got crickets, like nothing. No one talked. They just sort of looked at me. I said, you know, like a miracle, like something big that God has done in your life. And these kids that are in sixth grade just sort of look at me like, Miss Tara, I read the Bible. Miss Tara, I worshiped. However, I just haven't like had a miracle happen in my life. And I thought about it for a moment, and I was like, so I began to tell some of the miracles that happened in my life, because if you can't get a kid to talk, tell them all your stories. That's how I roll. And so I'm sitting there, and so I said, you know, there was a miracle that happened in my life. Whenever I became a mom, I didn't know how to mother quite correctly, because I'd never been a mom before. We adopted four kids, if you don't know. And so these kids did not come out of my womb. They literally came to us from the Philippines, and so into an airplane, and I'm home, and I'm a mom of four. And so I'm sitting there, we signed one of our boys up to basketball. We're going to get him involved, right? Like, let's get him involved in American culture. Let's get him involved in the thing that I love, which is basketball. And so he is a little bit shorter than some people and smaller than people. And so so we put him in a game, and he gets crushed, like just crushed. And so he's sitting there, my young little boy. And so he sits there, and some kid like piles into him. And I didn't know, because I'm watching my two girls. Because we're all new. We're new as a family. I don't know how to mom. So we're sitting there, and the coach puts them on the bench. But I'm so worried about my girls, because we barely speak English and we don't know how to do life well. So I'm sitting there, and so he gets off the bench after the game, and I see him walking to me, and his leg is not just like hurt, or like he doesn't have like just a bruise. Literally, his leg is like twisted the opposite way that a leg should be twisted. You know what I'm talking about? Like it was like the opposite way. And whenever he went to walk, he would literally just crush on his feet, and you could tell it was taking everything out of him. And the whole gym just went. And I'm sitting there like, I'm the terrible mom. I win the terrible mom of the world award. I don't even know how to do this. So I'm trying to like be the best mom of the world. So some guy behind me, my husband wasn't there. He picks him up and he brings him to the table. And so we're filling out forms, because that's what you do, right? In America, you fill out a form and you're going to get him to bring him to an ambulance or to medical care. So we're doing all these things, and he's getting worse. Like you could tell he's trying hard to be a man and not cry. And so he's sitting there trying not to cry, but I think he's going to cry any minute. And his leg is just twisted like grotesquely, like the other way. So I call my husband. I said, Ted, you have got to pray. We have got to have something. I said, I'm getting ready to take him to the emergency room. I don't even know what that looks like. I've never been a mom. And so he's just like, chill out. You'll be a great mom. Let's pray. So we pray on the phone, and there's a man in the room. Now, I would love to tell you, as a woman of God that loves the Lord for many years, that I took my hands on my boy and I prayed that his leg would come back. But but I did not. I did nothing. I was just like in crazy mode. So I'm sitting there, and this man behind me, who is a believer, he said, "Can I pray for your kid?" I said, "Sure. I'm a pastor of a church, but you go ahead." And so he takes his hands and he prays over my kid, and he prays that God would heal him supernaturally, and nothing happens. You ever pray and like you pray for like this supernatural event and nothing happens, and you're sitting there and you're like, "God, did you even hear me?" So he takes him up and he pulls him into my car, and we go into the emergency room, and my son is like blacking in and out. Like it's hurting so bad, he's blacking in and out. And if you know my boy, he's a chatterbox all the time, and really. And so for me, I'm getting nervous. I'm like, "Just stay with me, baby, stay with me, you know, like you stay with me." And so I go to take him up, and I can pull him up because he was little and I'm big. And so I pulled him, I take him into the emergency room, and something happened. From the time that I pulled him out of the car, he started to perk up. And all of a sudden he's like, "Mom, I feel good." And I said, "Well, there's no good here. There's, you know, you're getting ready to have your leg chopped off. It's going to be okay, but your leg's going to get chopped off." And so he starts walking on his leg. And I'm telling you, like, as he's walking to the doctor's office, to the emergency room, we're sitting there, and, like, I just see a leg that was looking like this and ugly and, like, bent out, and he could not walk, and he's crying and blacking out. And I thought, "I'm going to lose my kid, and I don't know what I'm going to do because I don't even barely know him." And so here I am, and all of a sudden, God just pops his leg back into place, and he starts walking to the emergency room, and I literally take him to the doctor and say, "My kid has like this broken, terrible," and he's, "Lady, you're crazy." And I said, "I'm not crazy. Like, this is real. The whole gym saw it. We signed off because the gym didn't want to get sued, you know." And I'm like, "I'm not going to sue you." And so, like, it's just, you know, and so here we are, and God just miraculously popped his leg into place. Supernaturally. It was the first like physical right away miracle that I've seen. I've seen miracles in my life, but a supernatural miracle that happened in my life through my son. You know how my son is now? He's like, "Mom, it's okay if I get hurt in basketball because God's going to heal me." What does he believe? He believes in a supernatural God. Nothing can take anything, his spirit away, because he feels like if God heals his knee, God can heal everything about his life. Why? God wants us to believe in the supernatural. I think the enemy is trying to steal this from the heart of believers, specifically in our American, European, we've got everything together world. Because I could have taken him to emergency room and some doctor could have said something profound. And I'm not against doctors. Believe me, take your kid to the emergency room. And I'm not against medicine. I'm just saying that sometimes God wants to move in a supernatural way. And we are so busy doing everything but calling out to God and asking him to move supernaturally. And when he does, we're a little bit freaked out. Like, "I can't believe God just did that." That's the God that we serve. He is a supernatural God. He is a God of the miraculous. And I have this quote, it's on the screen. "We are not to seek the signs of the supernatural." We're not. The Bible says it's a wicked and perverse generation that seeks after a sign, but we are to seek Jesus, and the supernatural signs will follow us. I'm going to say that again. We're not to seek the signs of the supernatural. We are to seek Jesus, and the supernatural signs will begin to follow us. I'll give you another story. There's our missionary that we support in El Salvador, who's also been to other islands. Francisco grew up in poverty, and he tells the story that he had no shoes to wear, but you had to wear shoes in order to go to school, so his mom would scrunch his feet in shoes so that his feet would have some kind of shoe. But it was always a shoe that was two or three sizes too big. And a couple of years ago, a young girl who's 13 years old, who's the missionary's daughter there in El Salvador, laid her hands on Francisco's feet and said, "In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask that you will heal those feet." And Francisco said he witnessed his feet grow 2 inches so that they could become what he needed for his body. That is a supernatural miracle. That's a profound thing that God does. Now, two of you are clapping, but if your feet grew 2 inches, wrenches and you needed them to, there would be a lot more clapping that would happen in the room, because we are programmed. It seems like culture is saying that nothing supernatural can happen. It's saying that nothing powerful can happen. And if you believe in the power of a God that you serve, you're crazy. You're a lunatic. You're not like everybody else. And they're trying to quench the movement of God's Spirit. But the power of God proves who He is. The supernatural proves that my God is not a little G God, but that He is a big G God, and He has great power to move not only in the Christmas story, but also in the story of my life. And in your life, He wants to move supernaturally. Maybe not the way you planned it, not always what you asked for, maybe not in your time or in your way, but supernatural nonetheless. What does supernatural mean in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. We have a definition of supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. So you're looking at an adjective of or relating to being above or beyond what is natural. So you have natural laws, right? Newton's law. And you have laws that say a force of gravity will stay put. Those are natural laws. So something supernatural is above what is natural. It is unexplainable by natural law or phenomenal. It's a normal or pertaining to a characteristic of or attributed to God or a deity of a superlative degree. It's pre-natural, a missile of supernatural speed. The birth of Jesus was one of the most supernatural, unexplainable by natural laws, phenomena, a normal event in all of recorded history. I want you to look maybe in your notes or on the screen. In Matthew 1, before we get to Luke, we're going to Luke, I promise. Matthew 1 and verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, everybody say before. And because we have kids in this room, adults, I will just let you understand what that means. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. How many people can agree that was supernatural? Somebody say supernatural. Never happened before. Now, somebody might have pretended like that happened to their mom, you know, when they got caught. But that's never happened before this time. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, but as he considered these things, Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So when an angel of the Lord appears to you, that would be supernatural. Can we agree? Unexplainable. Whenever you see an angel, that is an unexplainable event that happens in your life. My father, I think he believes he saw an angel. He was trying to kick the habit of smoking. And he had chewing tobacco. He had kicked the habit of smoking. He had kicked the habit of drinking, but he couldn't let go of chewing tobacco. And so he would always chew. And you know what I'm talking about? You put the chew in your mouth and it sits right here. And it's sort of, to me, disgusting, but I don't get it. It's okay. And so my dad tried hard and hard, and we would pray and we would fast for my dad to get rid of this. And he just couldn't kick it. One day, he's working offshore, and a man comes up to him he had never seen and says, Rodney, he says, I need you to know that you need to kick that habit. And he shows him his mouth, and he pulls open his lip, and it's full of black cancer, like just awful. You could see the disease ripping through his body. And he said, if you don't stop, this is how you're going to become. My dad threw away all his chewing tobacco and never chewed again in his life, and he never saw that man again in his whole life. I think that's a supernatural. My mom had been praying and fasting for the power of God to move. And that's a supernatural event when you see an angel. So when you see one, let me know, because I've been wanting to see one in my life. So we're going to look for the supernatural in Matthew 1 and verse 20. It says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel, another angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Again, unexplainable. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel, everybody say angel. The angel of Gabriel was sent from God. So God is sending angels down in the Christmas story. It's incredible. In Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, you see angels. And then in Acts, you think angels would disappear, but angels just become more frequent. The power of the Holy Spirit comes down in Acts in chapter 2. And then there you see all these angels beginning to speak. And if you would see angels after angels after angels, that's a supernatural event. In Luke 1 and 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph and the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." That would be a phenomena, a supernatural event. Let me tell you one more. In Luke 21 and verse 39, in those days, Mary arose and with haste went into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Somebody say supernatural. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." That, my friends, is an abnormal event. That doesn't happen every day, but supernatural is a part of the Christmas story. It is weaved into every word that we read, not only in Matthew and Luke, but from Genesis to Revelation. Every part of the story is impossible and supernatural. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, writes this: "Miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story, which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see." When we see a miracle or something supernatural, it's because sometimes we're not paying attention to all that God has already done. We're looking for the big thing, and God said, "I'm already working supernaturally in your life in the small things." You've got a job, supernatural. You have a family that's taken care of, supernatural, that God is providing. Look at Luke chapter 2. We're really going to go there. I promise. Luke chapter 2 in verse 22. Listen to the supernatural in this story. In Luke chapter 2 in verse 22, it says, "And when the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him." Who is him? Jesus. So they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus to present him to the Lord. And in verse 23, it says, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And he offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So this man, his name was what? Simeon. And this man was what? Righteous and devout. Everybody say righteous. So righteous is a fancy church word for living correctly as unto the Lord. So this man had decided, Simeon, that he was going to wait for the Lord to come, and he was living righteously. So a lot of times we want to see supernatural events in our life, but we're not living righteously. We're not living according to the word. We're not staying in the presence of God. We're not seeking his face. And so we're saying, "God, move," but then you go and you do your own thing. You go and watch your own thing. You go and listen to your own thing, and you wonder, why is the supernatural not happening in my life? And Simeon is an excellent example. He's saying, live consecrated. Live righteously as unto the Lord. Begin to ask the Lord, "Hey, I want the supernatural. I want the power of God to move in my life or at my job or in my family or young people." If you want God to move at your school, you're going to have to live different than everybody else lives. You're going to have to live righteously when no one else is living righteously. I remember I was a teacher at Homer Junior High School, and I wanted God to move and within my young people. I taught 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. The last thing they care about is God in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. They want to impress each other. They want to get a relationship. And I didn't see God moving, and we had a Christian club. And so I remember as a teacher, I wanted God to move supernaturally. I wanted him to take some of those students and bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ, but I didn't see it happening in my physical life. So I began to pray, God, I want to see it supernaturally. So I would take chairs. We had a band of 250 kids, and I would take those chairs, and whenever they would wash, they would clean the floor. The janitor would clean the floors, pick up every chair in the room, and then for my time off, I'd have to put out every chair and every music stand. And I said, God, I want to see you move supernaturally in the lives of these students. So I would take every chair when I would put it out, and I would pray over that chair. I would begin to anoint that chair with oil. Nobody saw me. I wasn't trying to impress you. I wasn't talking to anybody else. And I would spend an hour taking out those chairs and praying. God, I pray that that young person comes to know the Lord. God, I pray for pastors and preachers and missionaries. God, I pray that you will begin to change the pattern of their life that's happening at home. God, I pray that these unchurched kids would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm praying, God, and believing in righteously acting before you, God, for the supernatural to happen in my life. And I can never forget what our principal, who was not a Christian, said, you can have a Christian retreat. That doesn't happen. That's a supernatural event. And they said, hey, you can invite whoever you want. So I invited Pastor Freddie Fry to come because I can't speak because I'm a teacher. So I invited Pastor Freddie Fry. 200 kids show up that Friday night to hear the gospel message. And we are praying over kids and talking to them how to love each other. And the gospel is being presented. Why? Because as you live righteously and as you, like Simeon, say, hey, I'm going to expect the Lord to move and I'm going to believe. And if I don't see it happening and with my physical eyes, I'm going to do something so that it happens in the supernatural. I'm going to ask the Lord to move in my life. Look at Simeon. It says in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Everybody say Simeon. And his name, this man was righteous and devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit was what? Upon him. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And there was a power. Because of who Jesus is and the cross of Jesus Christ, not only does the Holy Spirit come upon you, the Holy Spirit can live in you. There's a greater power. The Old Testament prophets and saints had a limited power, but we have a power that comes from the cross of Jesus and the death and the burial. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. I don't have to live any longer like the world. I can live in the power of Jesus Christ. I can break chains of my past. I can break chains that have happened, generational curses in my life. I can break those because of the power, the supernatural power that lives on the inside of me. In verse 26, you can become righteousness as you wait on the Lord, as you discipline yourself. You're reading the word, you're praying, you're worshiping, you're attending the house of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will dwell in you, and you can believe for the supernatural. It says in verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you your plans and purposes for your life. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead that speaks to us in the supernatural. And maybe God has a plan for you or a purpose for you. And God is saying, if you will just wait in the presence of the Lord, if you will just seek my face and live righteously, God will reveal to you the next step of your life. Does that make sense? So that God wants to do a supernatural work, and he will reveal that in your life. It had been revealed in verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. What a promise. He said, the Holy Spirit revealed, Simeon, you will not taste of death until you see the Lord. You know how many people waited for that? How many hundreds of years they waited on the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit speaks, Simeon, you're the man. You're going to see him. You stand on the promise of God. You wait for the supernatural. Look at verse 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought into the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, Simeon did, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words, for my eyes, everybody say, my eyes See, God wants not just a supernatural in the pastor's life or in Simeon's life. He wants the supernatural in your eyes. For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And his father and his mother, Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Sometimes, even though it's supernatural, it's not exactly what you had planned. The birth of Jesus was supernatural, but I'm not quite sure Mary had planned to see her son go to the cross. Sometimes God will move supernaturally for an event, but right after that comes a great storm or a great problem or a great distraction. And you think maybe that's not what God had, but I'm going to tell you that God is still a supernatural God. And he's still working supernaturally on our behalf. Keep on reading in verse 36. Everybody say 36. "And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart." Everybody say, "She did not depart." So you see Simeon, who's living righteously and expecting the supernatural promise, and then you see Anna, who's saying, "Hey, the same thing. I am a widow and I am not going to depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day." If you're looking for that thing to break in your life, you begin to fast and you begin to pray. Join us Mondays, every Monday. All the staff here and the entire staff fast the day, just believing God for miracles on this side of Houma. We're just believing that God will move. Join us on Mondays and say, "You know what? As I fast, as I give up food or Netflix or Facebook or Instagram, as I give up those things for a day, I'm going to believe that God is going to move supernaturally." Perhaps you're praying for a breakthrough or a salvation of someone that you think can never come to know the Lord. You begin to pray. You begin to surround that thing with fasting also. Jesus even says that not just to pray, but add some fasting. I love fasting. You know why? Because I am confident that when I pray, I know that God hears. But when I fast, I have confidently put my trust in him that whatever happens, no matter good or bad, I fasted about it. I don't need to worry myself. I don't need to be put in anxiety. I don't need to have a concern because I've already fasted about that very thing. Enemy, you can step off my life because I know that God is moving. I might not see it with my eyes, but I have put it before the Lord. And Anna does the same thing. She's praying and worshiping and fasting night and day. And in verse 38, it says, "Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." That, my friends, is supernatural. That God would speak to a widow lady who is fasting and praying and believing God. Jesus' birth, supernatural. Angels proclaiming it, supernatural. Shepherds and wise men worshiping, supernatural. Simeon and Anna declaring it, supernatural. And I think of the world that we live in today. I don't know if you've noticed. I noticed. I'm a noticer. Whenever I was growing up, we used to watch things like Full House and Steve Urkel and Family Ties. You know, Friday night, we'd grab around the TV, and that was our thing. Do you know, like, as you look at TV and promotions these days, here's things that I've seen. Evil is the newest show out. I don't know. Lucifer is another, not a name of Satan. It's actually a show. They also have Evil, Lucifer, The Prodigal Son, any other horror movie. The world wants us to believe in supernatural. They just don't want us to believe in God's supernatural power and word. And they are busy promoting series after series and show after show. They want us to look at those things. And God is saying, but I want you to look at my power. I want you to look at how I moved in the Christmas story. But I want to move supernaturally in your life. So Paul, my favorite, he writes 13 books of the New Testament. He's supernatural. He has a conversion. He is killing Christians, and God shines a light down on his face, and he quits. Similar, I think, to Kanye West. If you're a Kanye West fan, I believe God has just moved on his heart. That's another story, another sermon. But he just said Jesus is Lord in his album, and so I agree with Kanye for one of the first times. It was a supernatural event. Thank you. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, so Paul is a killer of Christians, and he's taking out people left and right, and so he writes, he comes to know the Lord, and it's supernatural. Like, people can't even believe that this is the Paul because they know of Saul who used to kill Christians, and so it's a supernatural salvation. I'm praying for a supernatural salvation like this on the east side of Houma, that some major drug dealer would give their life to the Lord in such a way that they would give all their funding back to some nonprofit. I'm just praying for supernatural events, and so this happened in the scripture and can happen today, and so Paul writes letters, and in those letters, he writes prayers. And if you ever struggle with praying, and if you ever struggle with praying for the supernatural, I'm going to say Ephesians chapter 1, you should just look at this scripture and meditate on it and pray it. In Ephesians chapter 1, now you can turn there if you want to, but the worship team's going to come back up. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 16 through 20, Paul begins to write his letter. Now, every letter would start off with a greeting. Hey, Paul, I'm Paul. And then he would say who he's writing to. In this case, he is writing to the church at Ephesus. That's why it's called Ephesians. And so he's writing to the church at Ephesus. And after he greets the people and he tells them a couple things, listen to what he says. In verse 16, Ephesians chapter 1, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Everybody say the spirit of wisdom. Man, wouldn't you wish somebody's praying that over your life? The spirit. God, I pray that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. And I was just looking over this scripture and I said, God, I just pray that the church and Hope Community would know the hope to which he has called them. That they would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then in verse 19, and we're just going to sort of sit there, it says, I also pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Everybody say God's power. It's almost as Paul is saying, Ephesians was a culture similar to America. They believed in power. They didn't believe in God's power. It was a very materialistic, sort of like our culture. And so he's sort of crying out for the church at Ephesus, God, that they would understand the incredible greatness of God's power that's available for those who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand, the heavenly realms. He's saying that same power that raised Christ from the dead is available. And Paul's saying, God, would you just allow them to see it? Would you sort of take off the blinders in their eyes? And I don't know how your blinders got there. Sometimes our blinders get there because we've prayed and we've not seen God move, or maybe we're just looking so much at the world and what they have to offer that our eyes are blind. And we don't see the supernatural because we're so busy and focused on the world. And what they have to offer looks so much more appealing than living righteously and living in prayer and living in fasting. But God, Paul is saying, God, I just pray that the congregation at Ephesus would understand the incredible great power that they have. And as I'm reading over this, I'm just praying the same for you, for me, for us, that we would understand the incredible great supernatural power that God has for you. Your family doesn't have to stay that way. I'm a living testimony. Your school doesn't have to stay that way, young people. I'm a living testimony. your job. I remember one time I was working my first job, and I'm going to shut up. I was working at Rallies on the east side. I did everything. And I was praying. I was a believer. I knew Jesus, and I wanted my co-workers to know Jesus. So I began to pray and fast. God, that the people at Rallies who never talk about Jesus ever in their whole lives, God, this, if you will just let them talk about Jesus. And I remember God's supernatural power for 1 week. That's all I needed was 1 week. I don't know, some darkness lifted, it felt like, and all of a sudden people started asking me about church, and they asked me about Jesus, and they asked me some things. And then it took about a week, and I was able to share some things, and then it just seemed like it went back to normal. But for that 1 week, Rallies was underneath the supernatural power of a living God. Come on. You can pray this over your life. You can pray this over your family. My kids are His. God will work in their lives supernaturally. The church family. It's like Paul saying, remember who you are. That God's power wants to move and work in your life. And sometimes when you've been seeing roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, it's hard to believe that. I know, because that's what we've seen this year. We've just seen roadblock after roadblock. We've been trying so hard to acquire the land and to do these things for the Lord, and it seems like it's been no after no after no, not from God, but from man. But I've just been encouraged in the past couple of weeks. God, we're going to believe you for supernatural. God, we're going to believe that this entire property will be ours in the name of Jesus, so that we can help and bring life and hope and your word to more people. That would be a supernatural event. All of Houma would know if this land becomes ours, that God has worked supernaturally. Can you do this? Can you stand to your feet? And you say, you know what? I want God to work supernaturally in my life. And maybe you don't even know what that means. But all I know is that He's here in the place, and that the same power that rose Christ from the dead is available to us. And I remember when I went to a youth camp, the first year I gave my life to the Lord, I came in contact with the supernatural power of God. I know this because I sang "Our God is an Awesome God" for like 2 hours. Why? Because I was just enthroned on the praises of the Lord, believing that my God was a supernatural God. Today, would you just believe that for your life and say, you know what? I want to see God move in the supernatural. So maybe for you, you would just come to the altar. We're not going to have prayer workers. This is just a time between you and the Lord. Maybe you need a supernatural encouragement, and you just need to come and kneel at the altar. Maybe you're looking for something in your life and say, you know what? I need God to move. I need the power of the living God in my life. I need God to work in my family supernaturally. Just come and kneel at the altar. Or to say, you know what, God, I need you in my life. And we're just going to believe. Jolene's going to sing, and we're just going to come back into that presence of the Lord. Maybe for you, that's just lifting your hands and saying, God, I need you. Maybe that's going to a neighbor and saying, hey, will you pray for me? I need God to work at my school or in my job. I need God to work in my community, whatever it is, just to say before the Lord, I need a supernatural touch, God. I need the power of the Lord. Can we just agree together? Just lift up your hands. And let's ask the Lord to come in this place and move supernaturally. God, we declare, God, that your name is better. God, we declare your name, God, that you will work supernaturally. God, as we sing of your presence, God, that you will come in this place. God, come in this place in our lives and our families. God, we can't do it without you. God, without the power of Christ, open our eyes, God, so that we can believe in you and that we can know that you are moving in our lives. Let's just sing together. Jobs, over their schools, Lord. God, over those things that they hold precious, Lord God. God, we just pray for supernatural events. God, something that we couldn't even describe, but just to say, but God. But Jesus showed up and he moved on my behalf. And God, you've taken them from a very bad place. And God, we'll just give you all the glory. God, we'll give you all the praise, God, as these signs and wonders would happen, God, that they would just draw men to Jesus. God, as they see the evident work of the supernatural in our lives, God, that it would just proclaim Jesus like a banner over our lives, God, over our communities. God, we just believe in you for supernatural. God, we sing of supernatural, Lord. God, we thank you that you move supernaturally. God, that you're still moving supernaturally. So, God, we just pray for change to fall. God, we pray for breakthrough to come. God, we thank you that you're going to do it in this place. In Jesus' name, we're going to continue playing. If you need to go somewhere, we completely understand. But if you need to stay in the presence of the Lord and just begin to call out on his behalf, he's here in this place. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday and next Sunday at 9:30, 10:30. We can't wait to see you. We just call on the name.
power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. trusting you, Lord. Our hope is found in you, Jesus. No thing, no person will do but you, Jesus. Our life is found in you, Jesus. Jesus, we sing out, Jesus, 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 we sing.
Because I don't want to say it imperfectly. I just want to read this as we just close out service, just believing for the supernatural in Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. And I really do. I write this. I pray over this. Sometimes when I write somebody a card, I'll just pray this direction. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. God, we're just praying, God, for the spirit of wisdom. God, that we would have revelation in the knowledge of you. God, that we would have the eyes of our hearts enlightened. God, that we would know what is the hope to which we have been called. God, that we will know the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints. God, when we are worried and consumed with this world and the things of this world, instead that we would be consumed with the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints. God, today we pray that you will, that we will understand the greatness of God's power. God, for us, God, who believe in you, God, that this same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of the honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms lives, God, on the inside of us. God, as we walk out these doors, and we are bombarded with weeks, God, that will be crazy and at times overwhelming, God, that we will remember the promise of your word. God, that we will stand like Simeon. If you promised it to Simeon, God, you have promised it to us. If you have promised it to Anna, God, you have promised it to us. So God, we'll just stand your word that you will work in power in our lives. God, that thing that we have cried out to you for, that you have heard, and God, that you are answering, even if we won't see it, even if we won't see it in this lifetime. God, we thank you that you will remind us of the glorious, of the riches that are to come. And God, that we would get our eyes focused on heaven and focused on you. God, we thank you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for staying. Hug someone's neck. And we love you guys. And just we'll see you Wednesday.